So if you're an NBA player, quarantined or on lockdown, at home or in an apartment, with family members turning to you as their worlds turn upside down, who would you call to help you sort it all out and to figure out how to best be prepared for what comes next? If you're an American playing basketball professionally in Asia or in Europe and your league shut down, who would you call to help you work through that? To decide whether to come home and figure out how to get home. Sports agents are paid largely based on the contracts that they negotiate for players, but their role in a player's life extends far beyond that, especially in times of crisis. We'll look at the impact of a global pandemic on a basketball agent whose client list includes NBA All-Stars, as well as journeymen plying their trade across the globe, on this episode of SBJ Unpacks. I'm Bill King, joined now by Mark Bartlestein, a leading NBA agent with a large client base that includes a breadth of players, from All-Stars Kyle Lowry, Gordon Hayward, and Bradley Beal, to a host of guys playing professionally around the world. Mark, we often think of an agent as the person who negotiates the contracts, and that's at the core of what you do. That's your revenue stream, and you recruit. And we can talk more about that later. What I'd like to start with, though, is what your role becomes at a time like this, with seasons shut down, not only here, but across the globe. What was it like in your role as leagues went down one after the other around the world?
Well, yeah, I think often what kind of gets the headlines is the contracts and negotiate the deals you do. But the essence of what you do is the day-to-day, you know, building of a player's career, managing everything that's going on, you know, by a moment-by-moment basis. And certainly in a crisis like this, you know, a world crisis, which affects everybody and certainly is affecting professional athletes, and you're in constant contact, you're monitoring everything that's going on in real time, and you're giving updates to the players and their families on, you know, kind of world events and how it's affecting them, you know, uniquely in their particular world. So it's just a constant communication flow and making decisions on, you know, for example, the players who are playing overseas, are they going to stay overseas or are they going to come home? You know, they, you know, like I said, they're hunkered down in isolation there, or are they going to, you know, try to get on a flight back here? And obviously there's a lot of logistics involved with that. And
yeah.
What's safest for them and their family? So there's just so much going on.
Let's start with your NBA guys. What sort of stuff are you dealing with them?
Well, there's just a multitude. I mean, so first off, you know, making sure everybody is healthy and safe. A lot of players have been exposed to the virus.
Right.
And, you know, either a teammate or someone they competed against, or, you know, just, you know, the NBA world is so circular. Everybody kind of touches everybody in some way.
Right.
So making sure that everybody is healthy, and guys that had symptoms that they were getting tested, and or if they had teammates that tested positive, that, you know, making sure they're getting tested and being quarantined for that, you know, that 14-day period. So that's first and foremost. And then obviously making sure at the same time their families, you know, a lot of got older parents and,
right,
and grandparents, and making sure that they're all in a safe place and being hunkered down. So that's the first thing. And then secondly, you know, now that the NBA facilities have been shut down and they can't go work out there, you know, what are we doing to keep ourselves in shape and staying ready? Because it's always better to prepare. So if the season does come back, which none of us know if that's going to happen or not.
You know, right.
And Adam Silver desperately wants to bring the NBA season back. If it does, you can't let yourself get up. It'll certainly be a period of time to get the guys back and, you know, have like a mini training camp. But you can't just flick a switch and make that happen. You got to be working every day. So we're just figuring out creative ways, whether it's in their backyards or kind of reliving their childhood and getting in the driveway. You know, whatever we got to do, we're figuring out ways to stay in shape and make sure they've got, you know, all the resources that they need to do that.
What was the quarantine? I mean, I suspect you have, because again, there's two different things here, right? There's what many of us are dealing with right now, which is, you know, we're not leaving the house a lot, or we're doing a certain number of things or trying to work from here. There's that other segment, though, that know they've been exposed, that are looking at a 14-day quarantine period. What's it been like to walk that path with those guys who all of a sudden are supposed to self-isolate? Some of them probably 23, 24, 25 years old. What's it been like to walk them through that?
You know, it's hard. These guys have so much energy, and they love to work out, and they they're vibrant in their everyday lives, and to suddenly be kind of on lockdown has been really difficult for all of them. But to be honest, they've all done an incredible job. They've been really diligent. I think they've been leaders in the community of spreading the word, about, you know, following the guidelines that we all need to follow that the government's giving us. So I've been just inspired and impressed by our guys that they've not only are they adhering to everything, but they're trying to be leaders in their community. And I think they're also trying to get out often on, you know, social networking in terms of reaching out to their fans, and whether it's sending out TikTok videos or playing video games or, you know, going on Instagram Live and, you know, different platforms. I mean, they're finding ways to connect the fans and stay engaged and, you know, try and bring some positivity to everybody through all of this.
I want to talk more specifically about that with you in just a little bit. But before we get there, you talked a little bit about guys trying to stay in shape. I suspect there has to be a range of what individual guys have at their disposal in order to do that, in terms of, yeah, I think we immediately think all these guys have home gyms. A lot of these guys probably have basketball courts. Do you have some that are in that situation and some that are others? Tell me a little bit more specifically about what those guys have dealt with.
Yeah, no, it's a wide, wide range. There's some that have got their own indoor court and weight room and everything you could ever imagine. And there's other guys that are, you know, that are renting in the cities that they're in, you know, and they're in a rental apartment or a condo. So, you know, it's all over the place. And so you gotta find the right, for each guy, you gotta figure out what resources can we create so they can have all the tools they need. And it literally varies by player. And for some guys, you know, if they're in a warm weather climate, you know, they can get out a little bit, get some fresh air. They can get in, I guess, get in the driveway.
Right.
They can, you know, even go find a high school track where no one else is on and do some sprints and things of that nature. So we're just kind of trying to be very creative and figuring that out.
Well, I've been in the driveway with my kids just about every day. So if you can find a gig for me, I'm ready. So
well, we might send a scout over to walk in, you know. So.
6 feet away. In the NBA in particularly, you know, athletes have become more and more savvy about and interested in the platform that basketball gives them. More specifically, you mentioned it a little bit, but more specifically, what are some of your guys doing now in that regard? Is this a time for them to get out on Instagram or on social media and maintain a connection with fans? And who of your guys, and I don't want you to pick your favorite kid, but who of your guys is really good at that?
Oh, I mean, so many of them. I mean, you know, Bradley Beal does a great job, and his wife been sending out, you know, TikTok videos almost every day, you know, you know, Gordon Hayward, I think, was on you know, SportsCenter's Instagram Live the other day. But all the guys, Jared Dudley's out there constantly, Joe Ingles. I mean, all the guys, they really enjoy it. They enjoy the interaction. They have fun with it. And so I think it's just a tremendous way to be able to connect to your fans and let them know what you're going. We're all going through this thing together, you know, mm-hmm. and everybody's got great anxiety and kind of waking up every morning wondering what the day's going to bring and what the news is going to foretell for the day. And so it's, you know, I heard someone say this, and it's true. Like, I'm not sure how everyone would get through this, you know, 20 years ago if you didn't have social media.
Right.
Social media at least created an opportunity for people to stay connected.
Did you have to deal with any guys who tested positive?
Yeah, we've had a few guys that tested positive.
What's that been?
Sure.
What's it been walking them through that?
Well, you know what? Thank God they've all come through it, and they got through it pretty quickly. I think it was – For the guys that had it, it was really pretty much about a 5 or 6 day illness.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really just a matter of, you know, they stayed at home. Thank goodness no one had to go to the hospital, and just getting through the symptoms every day. And, you know, the teams were great with making sure they had everything that they needed, you know, in terms of meals being delivered.
Right.
and fluids. And they're both, you know, the guys that had it, you know, are both doing great.
Well, you know, because originally you heard, well, it's only at-risk population, right? And then all of a sudden you start to hear it, hey, there's this 24-year-old, there's this 25-year-old, fit, active people. That probably changes the way, as players hear those same stories, it has to change the way they thought about it.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, the thing with medicine is, especially in something like this, which is you know, a novel virus. I mean, we don't know. I mean, right. we know from, but we're learning every day. We're learning new things every day. And so, you know, all the experts, what they're doing is going off of data, you know, and percentages. So there's no doubt that the percentages lean much heavily towards the older population and people that are, you know, maybe an immune deficiency or have had some illnesses, but those are percentages. You know, there are people within those percentages that are, you know, younger and don't fit the, you know, the norm that are getting hit with this thing. And so, it, you know, everyone's susceptible. You know, obviously the odds are much greater that you're going to, you know, get hit really hard if you're older, like I said, or have an underlying illness that you're dealing with. But you know, for the person who is 24, 30 years old and they get it, you know, for them, that those percentages don't matter. So everyone's got to be really careful and make good decisions. But, you know, thank goodness the guys that we have that have tested positive, they're all now completely through it and feel great.
Tell me a little more about this globally. Specifically, any guys that are particularly interesting stories you think that were in a situation. Did you have any guys playing in Italy? Did you have any guys playing elsewhere in Europe or where, you know, again, a lot of those guys, I know when you have a guy playing in that league, sometimes medical attention is something you really worry about, not necessarily in Italy or some of those top leagues, but some of the lower leagues. You know, there's been stories of guys who have knee injuries that aren't treated properly or stuff like that. How do you deal with it? You know, have you had any situations like those where you had to say, oh, wait, you're in a situation that's a little bit dangerous?
Oh yeah, no, we've got players all over Europe. We have players in Italy, and you know, literally everywhere basketball's played in Europe, we've got clients there. So that's been a huge undertaking of getting everybody home, you know. And I think we've just about got. I think we've got one player that's still over who actually wants to stay, just feel safer there versus flying back. But I think everybody else is back now. So it's you know, it's scary. I mean, it hit there, you know, at a much higher level before what we've seen here, especially in New York. And you know, that's the medical care there is, you know, not that they don't do a good job. It's not like it is here in the States. And,
right.
you know, if you're going to get ill, you'd much rather be here in the States than abroad. So it was a big undertaking that we had to go through just to make sure to get, you know, the players home, get permission for them to leave, work out the logistics. Flights were obviously issues. So many flights have been shut down. So, that was a big a big part of what's been going on the last couple weeks is getting everybody home safe and sound.
You know, this is going to air on what would have been the first day of the Sweet 16. It's really easy for us. Like, right. you lose track of the calendar. You're like, where are we? What day is today? What week is this? This would have been the first day of the Sweet 16. You know, for what would you normally be doing as you head into this point? Lots of player seasons, lots of college player seasons are over, right? Would have been over, right?
Yep, yep.
I suspect you'd be recruiting. How do you move forward on that in this environment? Lots of calls and texts or waiting period, cool off? What is it?
Yeah, no, there's certainly the recruiting is definitely going on and talking to families every day and players and, you know, answering questions and providing information and doing everything you can. Obviously, you'd love to get somebody, you know, in person. That can't happen right now. But certainly the communication is ongoing. And yeah, there's no question that this is this is a period. It's the best time of the year. Everybody loves watching college basketball, and there's, you know, you like going out and sitting with your friends and watching the games. And for us, you know, watching players that we're really interested in, and kind of watching them live their dreams. It's my favorite time of the year. Where you got the NBA season heading towards the playoffs. You've got college basketball, in prime time, and like I said, the Sweet 16. You got baseball starting up. You know, it's, you know, hockey's, you know, the playoffs are starting. It's a great, great time of the year normally. And so we're missing that. But hopefully, you know, this thing will quiet down and we can get back to some normalcy sometime soon. But I think we've all been watching. It's a day-to-day thing to see kind of what the numbers show and what the scientists and medical professionals are going to tell us in terms of when we can, you know, get back to like some state of normalcy of what we do every day.
The draft is a long way away, you know, especially now as we're figuring things out day by day, week by week. We're really not at month by month yet, right? But have you gotten any sense yet on how the process leading up to that is going to be affected for this draft class?
Yeah, I mean, you know, clearly, you know, I think the combine is going to be canceled. And, you know, the workouts prior to that, you know, are not going to happen. Now, if they keep the draft at the end of June, you know, then we might just be looking at something where the teams are going to have to go off of, you know, the information that they've gathered at this point and do the best job that they can with that. Maybe there'll be a small window of opportunity to have visits with players right before the draft. If they move the draft later in the calendar, move it back into July or August, then maybe they will bring back the combine and an opportunity for players to go visit teams and work out for them. So we really just don't know right now. I think, you know, Adam has got so much on his plate with trying to, I know they've run all kinds of models, you know, in terms of the season, the playoffs, the draft, free agency, how are you going to put all that together? It's a huge puzzle and you got to make the pieces all fit so it works for everybody. And like I said, I think they've got all kinds of models, but they can't really put any of them into effect until, you know, we can get back to, you know, the government clears everybody to kind of get back to work at some level.
Those individual workouts have become such a huge part of this. It's almost like the whole thing now for a lot of GMs, right? I mean, I think most GMs' heads would explode if they couldn't have individual workouts.
I don't know. It's not the whole thing. It's just a piece, but it's the last piece.
Okay.
It's the last piece. It's you know, a draft choice for a team is the biggest investment that they're going to make in terms of their future, and they got to get it right. And so, you know, having the player in their building, spending time with them, having the whole staff meet them, you know, I'm not sure the workout matters as much as just the visit and all of that. Now, you know, for this year, I think the workouts might have mattered more simply because, you know, we lost a huge platform with losing the conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament. That's a big evaluation period.
Yeah.
And that's gone, you know, so there's no question. There's not as much information, but, you know, teams are doing their homework on these guys, you know, not just this year, but they've been tracking, you know, certainly the top players, they've been tracking them for years and years.
Sure.
You know, literally since they were, you know,
almost, 15,
you know, eighth graders or freshmen in high school. So, so they've got a big book on everybody, but, you know, as I said, it's a monumental decision for them. They want to get it right. And the more intel they can gather, the more comfortable they are on draft night. And so there will be certainly anxiety on teams' behalf that they can't get more information between now and whenever we have the draft.
So many of us are in similar situations now, batting down at home, trying to figure out how to get things done, how to get the kids' schoolwork done. You know, if you've got two working parents at home, you know, working now side by side or in different parts of the house while the kids are trying to do their schoolwork, and occasionally the dog is barking. You know, everybody's walking that same path right now. What's your setup?
Well, I've just been doing a couple of things. I've certainly work at home a bunch, but there is a lot going on in the house because we got all four of the kids are home right now and the dog and all of that. So there's a lot with that. You know, I try to get down to my office too, because I can get in there and it's, you know, I'm not letting anybody else in. Everybody's else is, you know, kind of ordered to work from home.
Right.
So I can get in the office and that's probably the best self-quarantine I've got. There's nobody in there but me. And so I'll go and get a lot of work done down there. And, you know, it's long days, you know, you got to figure it out. You got to deal with, you know, what we got in our hands. Everybody's got the same problems. Everybody's trying to find a way to be creative and innovative under the circumstances. And there's no sense complaining about it because that didn't do you any good. You just got to make it happen. That's what we're just trying to do every day.
Mark Bartlestein, thanks so much for joining me, helping us unpack the impact of this virus on the agent business. Thanks so much.
No, it's my pleasure. You guys really enjoy your show and stay healthy. Your family stay healthy and keep working on this jumper in the driveway.
All right, man. Thanks very much.
You got it.
SBJ Unpacks is now its own podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify for real-time discussions about the biggest topics in sports business. You can find links in our show notes below.